Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will continue in his series from Hebrews chapter 11 with a message entitled, Things Not Yet Seen. Lord, bless your word, I pray, and strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please take your Bibles and open them to Hebrews chapter 11. And I am reading verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. We continue in our study of this great chapter, Hebrews 11, whereby, by faith, men and women gained the approval, they gained the commendation rather than the condemnation, they gained the commendation, the smile of God, His good pleasure upon how they lived in this world in which so many of them faced horrific, difficult times. I find this chapter immensely applicable to the days through which we ourselves pass. 19 times, a verse in this chapter begins with, by faith. It is inescapable to come face to face with this brief phrase, just two words, by faith. Over and over again, this is held out to us that these men and women did not walk by sight, but rather they walked trusting in what God said to them, trusting in His word. And we likewise are called to follow their good example, their stellar example of how that we should be walking by faith. Faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction, that deep conviction within the heart, that the things which are unseen are actually more real, more powerful than those things which in fact are visible, which are plainly seen. And so, after having considered Abel and Enoch, we now come to the life of Noah. Whereas in coming weeks we will examine other lives, most especially Abraham, the man who was the friend of God and who was especially commended for his faith, and it was put down in his spiritual bank account that his faith was righteousness. Noah, in contrast to Abraham, who receives many verses and much examination, Noah, just this one verse, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. It begins with that customary phrase, by faith. But I also want you to see that this verse has bookends to it, and they match each other. It begins with faith and it ends with faith. By faith, Noah, we read at the start of this verse, and at the end it says, the righteousness which is according to faith. Faith absolutely envelops. It is at the beginning and it is at the end. And as the whole chapter pushes faith to us, its importance, how vital it is. As verse 6 immediately before it said, without faith, it is impossible. It's not unlikely or it's not difficult. It is impossible to please God if we are not walking by faith, if we are not conversing about faith, if our whole lives are not saturated and embedded, infused with faith, if we are not in fact correctly described as people if believers, if Christians, born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are not infused, if every fiber of our being is not saturated with faith, we are not pleasing to God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. By faith, Noah. By faith, Noah. And in this verse, there are four things which take place. I'm not sure that I need to dwell at great length about what took place in Genesis chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9, but we will touch on that in just a moment. But in this verse here, which immediately takes us back to those stories which we possibly have heard all of our lives, if you went to Sunday school, how could you miss out on the story of Noah? It's a commonly known, even outside of the church, commonly known account. But verse 7 says that Noah, there were four things about him. He was warned. He was prepared. He condemned. And he inherited. These are the four things which the writer to the Hebrews holds out most especially to us, and let us examine each of them, for they are all by faith. Each of them. Noah, he did these things not because, well, I don't have anything better to do and I'm nothing else on my schedule today, so this is what I'm going to do. For 100 years, Noah built an ark, which others mocked and laughed and scorned and ridiculed him for. But Noah, never having seen the kind of judgment whereby which God would bring upon this world, Noah trusted in the word of God. For Noah, just like his ancestor Enoch, who had walked with God, we read that Noah, in the very same way, walked with God. Now, God chose not to take up Noah as he had taken up Enoch. Enoch, we read that he was not, for God took him. Noah remained in order that he, through his faith, might condemn the world, and that he might be an inheritor, that he might receive a rich inheritance, the very best kind that comes from the hand of God. Warned, prepared, condemned, inherited. By faith, Noah, being warned by God, God spoke to Noah, saying, Noah, I am sorely displeased. You are the only one who is righteous and walking in a way that is good and proper in my sight. God speaks to Noah and he warns him about things not yet seen. Let's go back and open your Bible. Open now your Old Testament into Genesis and chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9. We first of all read that it was a time, this is verse 1 of chapter 6, it was a time when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. The Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. And verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Is there any grief that could possibly be compared to a grief that is God-sized? God, he was heartbroken in the Garden of Eden because he knew the pain, he knew the grief that would come upon this earth and even upon his own heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. Now verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And verse 9 goes on to say, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Four different things here are said in these two verses. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Secondly, Noah, he was a righteous man. He walked in a right and proper way before God. It is said that he was blameless in his time. And that fourth point that I have already alluded to in regard to Enoch as well. Noah walked with God. He would become the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and they would work along with him in the construction of that mighty ark. Again, in verse 11 of Genesis chapter 6, it's impressed upon us again. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And now God speaks to this man whom God found, who God placed his favor upon, this man who was righteous and blameless and who had walked with God. God then speaks to this man, Noah, and he warns him, and he tells him, there is a way that you can be saved from the judgment that I am going to bring upon this world. You are to make an ark, and this is exactly the dimensions and the way in which you are to build it and what you are to do in bringing animals. And we read at the end of chapter 6, thus Noah did, according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. It's one thing to hear the warning of God. It's one thing to know it in your head and to remember it. It's another thing for those warnings and for those memories of what God has said, what you have heard out of the Bible, what you have heard some preacher say somewhere, some Sunday school teacher, perhaps your mom or your dad. It's one thing to hear what God has said through his word, through his messengers to your heart. It is a completely different thing for you to lay hold on that and for hearing and for memory to turn into action. If we go to the book of James, the letter of James in the New Testament, we consider how that he speaks about faith and works. And that faith that is just a verbal assent and there is no impact upon the actions which we do, upon the words which we speak, upon our whole life, James says, that faith, I question it most heartily. I doubt that it is real. I doubt that it is anything more than a figment of your imagination. It isn't really real. Noah however, as we read in Hebrews, he was a man who walked by faith. He was warned about things that hadn't been seen. Now, what were those things that had not been seen? If we go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verses 5 and 6, in the creation of the world, we have no account of rain falling upon the earth, nor do we have any indication of rain, precipitation, coming down even after the fall, up until the time of Noah. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, we read, "Now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground." So no rain is specifically stated there. However, there was water, there was moisture whereby plants would grow, and it comes in verse 6, a mist. A mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. So that was how vegetation grew. That's how the plants were beautiful and in their place, and trees were moving upwards. But here we have, this just hadn't happened. And God, he says that he is going to bring judgment upon this earth in the form of a flood. And it will be so immense that every living thing, everything that has breath in its nostrils, shall die. Obviously, the fish, they would be perfectly fine because they do not breathe as we do. But birds, every living thing of all flesh upon the earth, it shall perish in this flood that God was going to bring about. I'm sure that when Noah first of all announced that he was going to be building an ark and he pursued that immense project, that there were some who said, "Well, Noah, we think you're crazy. We think you have completely lost your mind spending all of this time and these immense resources. Look at all the trees that you're chopping down and all of the toil. How you could just sit back, take your leisure. Everything is going to be fine. There is no problem here." But Noah, he had been warned by God. I'm sure that in the first year, people thought he was a bit kooky, crazy. In the 10th year of the project, they were even more firmly convinced. "Hey, Noah, where's this flood you're talking about? And what is a flood anyways? What's rain?" Year 50, year 60, year 70, year 80, year 90, year 95. "Noah, come on, please, please listen to sense. There is nothing going to happen." Noah kept on with his hammer and with his saw. His sons working by his side, they continued until the craft was done, until the ark was completed, because Noah, warned by God about things not yet seen, he just kept on holding on. God's word is true. God's word is sure. It is the foundation upon which a life can be built. Warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, Noah had respect unto the word of God. He elevated God's word, what God had to say, above every other voice. Oh, how we need to do that. How we need to treasure the word of God. How we need to attend to it. How we need to delight ourselves in it. Every hour of the day, meditating upon it, feeding upon it, being strengthened by it. in reverence to what God had said to him in that warning, in reverence, he prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. It wasn't just for Mr. and Mrs. Noah. It was for Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives. It was for all 8 of them, all of his household. So he was warned, he was prepared, because he listened to the word of God. That third point, he condemned the world. He condemned the world. It wasn't that Noah was nasty. It wasn't that he was saying, oh, just wait, just wait. You're going to get what's coming to you. Noah, he was doing what God had asked of him. He was walking by faith. He was delighting himself in God. He was respecting the word of God in reverence. He was revering the word of God, what he had heard. And by that, all of those who ridiculed and scorned and mocked and belittled him, who thought that he was a kook and a nut, they were condemned. They were condemned. By their own mouths, they condemned themselves. But Noah, it says, he condemned the whole world. It was one man against the many. Jesus Christ came, and it was one against the many. And today, the believer in Jesus Christ, we stand against the world who looks at us and says, oh, you're just so little and puny. We'll be done with you in just a little while. Just give us any opportunity. God's word is true. God's word is true. The final point is that Noah, he became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. God had something for Noah, and it was more than simply, Noah, you're going to be remembered through all time as having done an enormous work. You're going to be remembered as a man of faith. You're going to preserve your own lives. And look at these animals. They're also going to be preserved. Isn't that great? Noah received something more than simply his own physical life. And he received more than just the life of his wife and his 3 sons and his 3 daughters-in-law. He received an inheritance which goes beyond imagination. He received the inheritance of the smile of God, the delight of God, that here, though the whole world had gone its own way, it had become utterly corrupt and vile, it had become debased, men and women marrying and giving in marriage. Jesus speaks about this, that the coming of the Son of Man, it will be in such a time when people are utterly careless about how they have given their word, how they have committed themselves, deceivers, seducers. Jesus says, in such a time the Son of Man shall come. But Noah, warned, prepared, condemned, he received this inheritance. Having condemned the world, he received this inheritance by faith. He was inheritor of the righteousness. And oh, what blessing there is in righteousness. Now let me bring this to today in this other way. People look upon our world, and I am shocked continually how that even believers, they say, as it has been, so shall it always be. And what they mean by that is that this world has continued to move forward amidst difficulty and struggle and trials of many different kinds. But yet, somehow, though there is death, though there is pain, though there are rebellions, and though there are intrigues, and though there are nations which rise and those which fall, and empires and kingdoms in like manner, yet we seem to bumble our way along. I declare to you that the word of God is true, and that one day, even as this world had a specific beginning in 6 days as God created all that there is, there shall be an end exactly, I mean exactly, as God has declared in his word. This world shall not always be, and it will not be in a nuclear holocaust. It will be according to how that God has set it forth for us. That can be belittled, that can be mocked, that can be scorned as something very imaginative, and that the Bible actually is all figurative and it doesn't really mean what it says. I say hogwash. I say nonsense to that. The Bible has shown itself to be wonderfully clear, and that just as in the days of Noah, Noah was warned about things that had never been seen. Though there have been wars, though there have been immense struggles in this world continues to move to that day when the Lord is going to close shop, and blessed beyond measure, blessed are all who look to the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have confidence in him, those who are living their lives, walking with God, all of it by faith. I would call you, my dear friends, to walk even as Noah did, because there are things that have never been seen upon this world that are coming. And blessed is the one who walks through these days by faith. Lord, continue your work in our hearts, and may we trust in you, and may we delight in your word, rejoicing in it always, strengthened by it, fed upon it. And Lord, continue. May we continue to receive your smile upon us. These mercies we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for joining us for Hearts to Believe. Let me remind you of our current free offer. It is a book project entitled The Sermons in the Sermon, and it has the bonus of 2 audio CDs with it. Jim Barber preached a series of messages 3 years ago from the book of Acts, especially focusing upon the preaching of Peter, Stephen, Philip, and Paul. These messages, whether they be long or short, were the focus and have been taken to include in 21 brief messages in this book. The 2 CDs contain scripture readings from the King James Version taken from the book of Acts. You will enjoy. You will be blessed by this presentation. You may ask for it. It will be sent free and postage paid when you write to Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C2H6, or you may call us at 1-833-367-3852. Hearts to Believe is an extension of the Faith to Live By radio and television ministry based in Winnipeg with Jim Barber. We leave you now with the Apostle Peter's benediction. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.